I want to discuss the mitzvah of yeshiva besukkah, the question of kavana, and the principle of mitzvah srichas kavana, how it applies to sukkah, the question of nashim, women with regard to sukkah. Let's begin our discussion with the two psukim in Parshas Emor, that's in Vayikra Chaf Gimel, and we'll start with Pasuk Mem Beis, Basukos Teshu Shivas Yomim, Kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael yeshu basukos. L'man yedu dorasechem ki basukos hoshavti es b'nei Yisrael be'otzi osam me'eretz Mitzrayim ani Hashem Elokeichem. Let's start with the Ramban. The Ramban says on the pasuk kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael, says the Ramban, u'b'toras kohanim, ezrach ze'ezrach, Ha Ezrach, the extra hey, Lahotzias Hanoshim. So the extra hey comes to exclude women. And then Kol Ezrach, Lerabos, why do we need the Kol? Es Hagirim, Viavodim Mishuchrorim. So on the one hand, there's a special pasuk that has to exclude the women. On the other hand, there's a special pasuk that has to include the Gerim. And Avodim Mishukhrorim, the latter has the same status as Gerim. So we could ask a number of questions here. We can ask, why do we need a special pasuk to exclude women? L'chora, women are excluded from this chiyuv, from this mitzvah, based on the general universal principle of mitzvah seishas man groma. And then we can ask the question, why would we think in the Havami that Gerim are excluded from this mitzvah? We need a special kol ha'ezrach to include Gerim. Now, the Ramban attaches another comment here to this Sifri that he had quoted, Sifra, and he says that Pshuto Shel Mikra, based on other psukim that equate the obligations of a Ger to those of an Ezrach Ba'aretz, we really don't need a Drasha Ribui of Kol HaEzrach in order to teach us that a Ger is Chayev. A Ger is Chayev in all the mitzvahs, just like an Ezrach. And the Ramban's language is, lo yitztarich lahashiv ulahazkir b'chol mokom kol ezrach ager. We don't need a special pasuk and a special ribui in every single individual mitzvah to tell us that a ger is chayev. We have an overall equation, chuka achas yilachem lager v'lezrach ba'aretz. And therefore the Ramban says that al pi pshutel shemikra v'omar kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael, why does the Torah add the word kol? Ke'omer, as if to say, kol asher hu miYisrael migdolam viad katnam. Again, I don't know if katanim here means less than bar mitzvah. L'chor, they're part of all mitzvahs. I don't know what he means. You have to say he means someone who's less distinguished. But in any event, he says, lo dai, the chiddush of the pasuk is that it's not enough be echad mi bnei abayis ladur basukkah. One person would sit in the sukkah from the household, vashar yeshvu babatim, and the rest could continue living in the houses, avakulam yeshvu basukos. But rather, Kol Ezrach B'Yisrael is coming to teach us that every single one of Bnei Yisrael have to live in the sukkos. Now, the first question we want to raise here is, as we mentioned earlier, why do we need Kol Ezrach, Ha Ezrach, I should say, Lahotzias Hanoshim, when at the end of the day, we know that women are exempt from Mitzvah Seishas Man Grom? And I'd like to suggest a number of possible reasons why would we think the contrary. Adarabba, that women should be obligated in this mitzvah of sukkah, despite the fact that it's a time-bound mitzvah. First of all, we have the sugya of tesvav, the gzeres shava between sukkahs and Pesach. As far as Pesach is concerned, we have a mitzvah of ba'erev tochlu matzahs, which is also a mitzvah seishas man groma, and theoretically women should be exempt from matzah the same way they're exempt from sukkah, and all time-bound mitzvahs. But the Gemara says, no, women are obligated in matzah. And why is that so? Because we have a hekesh between matzah and chametz. Kol she'yesh no baltochal chametz, yesh no bikum echol matzah. So women are included in the mitzvah of matzah. They're obligated in matzah based on this equation to chametz. And again, the reason why they're enjoined from eating chametz is because women are equal to men in all losas. So we would have a havni that matzah, insofar as it's an essay, is different than chametz. But since the Torah went out of its way to put chametz and matzah together, conjoining them in one hekesh, to teach me that women are obligated in matzah, just like they're obligated in chametz. Now we have tesvav, and we might jump from matzah to sukkah and present the thesis that just like matzah is the exception to the rule, as mine grown women are obligated in matzah, so too they're obligated in sukkah as an exception to the rule. And this makes a lot of sense when we think of many different equations between matzah and sukkah. Just like matzah is a separate chov on the first night, so too sukkah is a separate chov on the first night. And it requires an achilah b'sukkah on the first night, just like we have achilas matzah on the first night. And women are obligated in achilas matzah, so via through the gzeirah shavah between chamishah to between Pesach and Sukkot, we should say not only is there a mitzvah of achilas sukkah on the night of Sukkot on the 15th, just like there's a mitzvah of achilas matzah on the night of the 15th, but just like women are obligated on the 15th of Nisan to eat matzah, so too they're obligated on the 15th of Tisha to sit in sukkah. So that's one strong havamina. And the havamina to equate matzah and sukkah, as far as nashim are concerned, is a very, very strong one. If we consider the tour, and again, this tour requires a great deal of study. Maybe we'll get back to it. But the tour writes at the beginning of Hilchas Sukkah, Tafresh Chaf Hei, Tola HaKosuv, he's medayik from our pasuk, it says, L'man yedu dorosechem ki besukas hoshavtis b'nei yisro behotzi osam eretz mitzrayim tola akosuv mitzvah sukkah b'yitzias mitzrayim v'chein harbe mitzvahs. The Torah goes on to say that many mitzvahs are connected with yitzias mitzrayim, and their purpose is to remind us yitzias mitzrayim. And the reason for that is because yitzias mitzrayim establishes many of the fundamentals of our belief. And in fact, the Bach understands the tour as maintaining that there is in fact a mitzvah in Sukkah of Zechel Yitzias Mitzrayim. And just to read to you one line in the Bach, he says, Alkein Yirli Lomar De Iker Kavanas Rabbeinu Levayer. The thrust of what the tour wants to explain is the Pshat HaMikrusha Kavana B'mitzvah Sukkah, that the kavana and the purpose of mitzvah sukkah is lizkar yitzias mitzrayim. And he goes on to explain that if a person would sit in sukkahs, in the sukkah, and he doesn't have the kavana of yitzias mitzrayim, then he hasn't fulfilled his mitzvah kitikuna. And that's what the pasuk means when it says beotzio som eretz mitzrayim. That we have to be makayim the mitzvah with a idea, an awareness of behotzi oson meretz mitzrayim. V'chein harbi mitzvahs, klomar mishar harbi mitzvahs shetolon b'yitzis mitzrayim yeshlom shkam mitzvah sukkah tol b'yitzis mitzrayim v'shizeu ikar ha'idea k'mo shenemar l'man yedu. And why is it so important to know and to remember yitzis mitzrayim? That's what the Torah goes on to say. These are the fundamentals of our belief. So if you look at it from that perspective, you certainly give an extra push to the fact that there's an equation between matzah and sukkah, the tesvav tesvav. To the same way, I am mekayim chayev adam liros es atzmo by eating the matzah, which is clearly zecher liyetzias mitzrayim, so too when I sit in sukkah, is I remember l'man yedu dar sechem ki besukah so shavti, etc. b'otzio som may eretz mitzrayim, and the kavanah of the mitzvah is to remember yitzias mitzrayim. It makes sense, therefore, in the context of that equation between matzah as yitzias mitzrayim and sukkah as yitzias mitzrayim, in the Torah's frame of reference, we should certainly expect that women who are obligated in matzah, and therefore they're included in the mitzvah of Yetzias Mitzrayim, are also included in Sukkah and Yetzias Mitzrayim. That could certainly be one logical push for why I need ha-ezrach, the extra hay, as a miut to exclude women. Another approach could be based on the sugya in Megillah Daf Dalet. The Gemara says that women are obligated in the mitzvah Megillah because afein hayu bosa nes. The Gemara at the end of Pesachim and Arvei Pesachim says that women are obligated in Dalet Kosos because of afein hayu bosa nes. So too in Er Chanukah, women are obligated because of afein hayu bosa nes. And at this point, we have to introduce the sugya in Masechta Sukkah Daf Yud Aleph. Yud Aleph on the days. The Gemara records a machlokes about the pasuk l'man yedu, and according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's a reference to Anani Yakov, the miraculous Anani Yakov that protected the Jewish people in the Midbar. And if that be the case, if you want to fulfill that unique kavana of Sukkah of Anani HaKavod, which is the miraculous phenomenon that protected the Jewish people, there's no reason why we shouldn't apply the overall klal of Afein Hoyu Bosa Nes to obligate Noshim. They too experienced the protection of Anani HaKavod. The Anani HaKavod protected Klal Yisrael, men, women, and children. And therefore the women should also be included in the mitzvah of Sukkah insofar as Laman Yedu refers to the great miracle of Anani HaKavod. A third possible reason to push us to assume that women are obligated in the mitzvah of Sukkah is based on the halacha of Teshvu Ke'ein Taduru, that we have to live in the Sukkah. The mitzvah of Yeshiva B'Sukkah is the same, in the same way that we would live in our house, and we live in our homes, and certainly we live a husband and wife together. So the Teshuv Kein Tadur requires that the woman be in the sukkah. Imagine what a lonely experience it would be for a husband to be in the sukkah without his wife. That's not Teshuv Kein Taduru. Again, I know the cynics might joke about that, but in a pure world of idyllic world of abstract thought, certainly Teshuv Kein Tadur requires that the wife be there. Again, the other svaras that we gave, whether it's because of the equation to matzah, or it's because the mitzvah is to remember the Anani HaKavod and Afein Hayu Bosa Nes, that wouldn't differentiate between one woman and another, married woman, a single woman. But the third svar that we're giving would certainly be a powerful push in the case of a married woman, that she should have to be in the sukkah with her husband. And if you want, I give you a fourth reason why women should be obligated in the mitzvah of sukkah. Because the mitzvah of yontif is v'samachta b'chagecha. And it would seem to be impossible for the mitzvah of sukkah to undermine the mitzvah of samachta b'chagecha. Again, there was a Simcha Yisrael in Migdash, and today we have the minhag of Simchas Pesach Shoeva outside the sukkah, because perhaps the sukkah will curtail the simcha to some extent. But the basic mitzvah of sukkah should not contradict or undermine the basic mitzvah of simcha. So the basic simcha replies on sukkah. Sukkah is man simcha seinu. And in order for a person to be besimcha, it's v'simach es ishto. His wife should be there with him and participate in the sukkah, in that element of simcha that can be fulfilled on yontif. Because again, 90% of the yontif he should be spending in the sukkah. And that's where he should be mekayim the mitzvah of samachta v'chagecha. So to separate him from his wife, I don't know if you can consider that a kiyum of a samachta v'chagecha. That should be a gili milsa on the mitzvah of sukkah, that the mitzvah of sukkah was organized by the Torah in such a way that he could maximize his kiyum of a samachta v'chagecha. Otherwise, these two mitzvahs of sukkah on the one hand and the samachta v'chagecha on the other hand, that emanate both from the same kedushas hayom, the essential same identical source for both mitzvahs, and one should negate the other. Imagine if sukkah would undermine the mitzvah of simchas yontif. So what is Simchas Yontif then? And therefore, whenever we find Simcha, we find man and his wife together. And the mitzvah of Simcha expresses itself in the way he's v'simech es ishto, he has to buy her, call it new clothing for Yontif, etc., etc. So the thrust of what we're saying is that there are four different reasons that we can give, and maybe there are another ones. I want to suggest another one. as to why women should be obligated in the mitzvah of sukkah. Now, I'd like to add, as I said before, a fifth explanation, and as far as to why women should theoretically be obligated in the mitzvah of sukkah. And that is based on a principle that we find all over Shas, especially in Masechet Yuma, regarding the Kohen Gadol before and during Yom HaKippurim. It says, V'chibra al beso, beso zu ishto. And because of that, we have to guarantee that the Kohen Gadol has a wife in order for him to do the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. We'll even have a bullpen, you know, in the shadows. We'll have another wife just in case he needs another wife. But beso zu ishta, the bias is the isha. Lolam al karasi li ishti ela besi, the Gemara says. The bias, the ikra bias, is the wife. Now on sukkahs, the mitzvah of sukkahs to create a bias, to take the old bias that we live in the whole year round, we have all the conveniences therein, and push them into the small sukkah and make the sukkah into a bias. That becomes our dearest keva. Whereas the old bias, our regular weekday, all the year round bias, is a diras aroy. Now the sukkah becomes a diras keva. Now it becomes the ikar bias. So my bias, I mean, I think kachlus ahavim that maybe we should put up a mezuzah. But the only thing is that sukkah, although it becomes a bias, and there's a certain kvius in the living in the sukkah, but nevertheless, it's also at the same time a diras aroy. For example, Gemara at the beginning of Masechet the sukkah establishes, according to one man, the reason why sukkah l'mala mi esrim amo, if it's made of metal structure, therefore it's possible because there's no possibility of calling such a sukkah diras aroy. So there is an issue of tsei mi diras keva, and tikkanes le diras haroi, but nevertheless, at the same time, paradoxically, that diras haroi for me during this 7-day period is my diras keva, and that's my ikur bias. Ask me what my bias is on sukkahs, and the answer is it's in my sukkah. And there are many poskim who encourage you to bring in your phones into your sukkah, and whatever other conveniences that you want to use, bring it into the sukkah. The sukkah is a massive component of what this holiday is all about. That's where we spend that time, and that's where the bias is. And if beso zu ishto, then it would be very paradoxical, to say the least, to say that women are not part of that bias. But I want to go a step further, and I want to suggest that based on all these reasons that compel us to believe that women should be obligated in the mitzvah of sukkah, that the p'tur itself that's derived from the hay, the extra hay, as a miut, ha-ezrach, and that comes l'me'ute isha, that should be understood in a very specific way, in a very circumscribed way. It doesn't mean that women are outside of sukkah, and that's it. That would certainly not be true. I mean, teshvu kein tadur. And in order to perhaps make some forward here, some progress on how to define this restriction, this miut of nashim regarding sukkah, I'd like to start by reading the Rambam. And we mentioned this in a shir about, I'd say about 5 days ago. The Rambam in Perek Vav Milchus Sukkah, when he says, Ketzad hi mitzvah hayeshiva besukkah, the Rambam seems to, at least at the surface level, repeat himself unnecessarily. Almost word for word. In Halacha Hey in that chapter, he writes that the mitzvah of yeshiva besukkah shiya ochel v'shosa v'dar besukkah kol shivas hayomim. He defines three activities, and he singles them out for the mitzvah of yeshiva besukkah for all 7 days, bein bayom, bein balayla, and that's called achila, shesia, and dar besukkah. Dar basuk, I would say, is not just achil and shesia, but all the other dimensions of what he would normally do in a living and dwelling in his house, he does now in the sukkah. And then, if you fast forward to halacha vav, there the Rambam says, ochlin v'shosim v'yeshenim besukkah kol shiva bein bayom bein balayla. Almost word for word. Here he singles out Shena, whereas in the first halacha, the previous halacha, halacha hey, he doesn't have Shena specifically, he says Dar Besukkah. But in both cases, he mentions Achil and Shesia, and he mentions Kol Shiva bein bayom u bein balayla. Absolute repeat. Then he goes on in Halacha Vav to formulate an iser of achila seuda chutz l'sukkah for the 7 days, excepting an achila saroy. And he talks about kibetza, pachos, okiyoser. He speaks about the fact that in the case of shena, there's no such thing. The halacha doesn't validate and recognize the shena saroy, therefore every shena is considered shena's keva. And the Rambam allows you to drink some water outside the sukkah, maybe eat some fruits outside the sukkah. But the Rambam certainly is very emphatic about the Isur of not eating a Sa'uda, or shall we call it an Achilas Keva, outside the sukkah. Now, in order to understand the repetition and to justify the repetitious nature of the Rambam, we go back to the Ramban again. The Ramban, if you remember, says that Kol Ezra, although the Sifra derives from the extra word Kol, even a Ger, the Ramban is not happy about that because he thinks that we know Ger from the universal principle that Ger is Chayev in all mitzvahs. And that's derived from the Pasuk, Kol Ezra. That's derived from the Pasuk. Let me just read the pasuk to you, sorry, of Kager, Chuka Achas Yelachem Kager Lezachars. Therefore, the Ramban submits to us a new Havamina, and the purpose of the word Kol HaEzra, is coming Lafuke, is we might think, Dai Bi Echad Mibnei Abayis Lodur B'sukav Asher Yeshvu B'bat. Now, this concept of one person representing, so to speak, the bias, the household, and living in the sukkah, and the others are in the bias. This havamin, of which the Torah has to exclude with the word kol, Ezra, right, kol, seems to assume that, like the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, which is Ner Ishu Beso, sukkah is also a mitzvah of bias. And perhaps we could suggest the following, that there are two different dimensions or kiyumim to the mitzvah of sukkah. Number one, and this I think what the Rambam codifies here in Halacha Hey, the first of those two halachas, is a chovas gavra of a maisa mitzvah achila, maisa mitzvah shtiyah, and any other maisa that constitutes dira. And that's a kiyum on the gavra. That defines a classical Maisa mitzvah and a kiyum, a chovas kiyum gavra. Then there's another dimension, and that is not the achila per se, but rather the chovas, shall we call it, chefta shel sukkah. In other words, to transform my sukkah into a sukkas keva, and to make that transformation from a beso of keva to a beso aroi, and from a sukkas aroi to a sukkas keva, we need to establish our dira in general, and there are specific maisim that the Rambam singles out that will convert and transform the sukkah itself into a sukkas keva. In fact, I could go even a step further here and suggest that as far as the Rambam in Halacha Hey is concerned, the Chovas Gavra and the Maisa Achila could be, we can apply the universal standard of Achilas Kibetza, excuse me, cross that out, of Achilas Kizayas, the universal Halacha that Achila is defined by Kizayas. The Rambam introduces the concept of Kibetza only in Halacha Vav when he speaks about the Isur of Achila Sa'uda outside of the Sukkah, and there he differentiates between the Achilas Keva that has to be in the Sukkah and the Achilas Aroi that could be outside the Sukkah. Perhaps the Achilas Aroi that could be outside the Sukkah is because that Achilas Aroi is not relevant to the Rambam Halacha Vav, insofar as the Rambam Halacha Vav is establishing a Kiyum in the Sukkah itself. Our Dira in the sukkah, and all those pu'ulos that are enumerated and specified here are a means to an end, which is to set up the bias, in this case the sukkah, as a bias, as a base, as a bias shel keva. To transform the sukkah haroi into a bias shel keva, for that we need the entire list of pu'ulos here that the Rambam enumerates here in Halacha Vav. And one is tempted to think on a conceptual level that perhaps these pu'ulos, which form a conglomerate entity, a harkava mizugit, to establish the sukkah through the entire picture, the whole constellation as a whole, as a unit of pu'ulos of dira, and that's what generates the shame kviyas sukkah. Maybe that's a tnai, a precondition in the mitzvah sagavra, in the chovas sagavra. I mean, the chovas sagavra is not just to eat a kizayis in the sukkah without ma'isa mitzvah. No, you need to first establish the sukkah as the chefzah shel mitzvah sukkah, and that's through the kviyas. And that kiyum is in the Heftah Shel Sukkah. One could therefore ostensibly argue that given the notion that there's a kiyum in the Heftah Shel Sukkah of converting it by generating a shem Sukkas Keva, that dimension of the mitzvah of Sukkah could possibly be fulfilled by one representative. Maybe it's a Chovas bias, like in Ner Chanuk, we have a Chovas bias, Ner Ish Ubeso. Ner Ish Ubeso means that the Chiyuv of the Pirsum Anes is on the bias as a whole. And here too, as far as Yeshiva B'Sukkah is concerned, we need a Sukkah which is established by Dira, by the Maisa Dira, as a Sukkah's Keva. And perhaps one representative can achieve that goal, just like in the case of creating a bias that's equipped with an Er Chanukah, one member of the household can do so on behalf of the entire bias. So too, in the case of Sukkah, to establish the Sukkah as a bias kavua, one member of the bias of the household could do so. Once that one member of the bias does so, now anyone who enters into the Sukkah can fulfill his Chovas Gavra. The Ramban never had in mind, and this is what we discussed in the last year, there was never a havmin in the Ramban that we could do away, even before the Pasuk Kol, with the Chovas Gavra and the Maisa Achila, the Maisa Yeshiva B'Sukkah. No, that for sure is an individual requirement, but what we wanted to think was that maybe, insofar as the Sukkah has to be converted in and established as a Sukkas Keva, maybe one representative of the family could achieve that. And that goal, once achieved, has a kiyum itself. And that kiyum was achieved. The Ramban is saying, Kavashma, no, that even to establish the Sukkah as a bias shel keva, we need that all the members of the household of the bias participate in establishing that kvius. It's not like the case of Ner Chanukah. And this, if the Ramban either consciously or subconsciously had in mind in the Havamina before the word Kol an equation between Chanukah and Sukkah, insofar as the Chovas Bais is concerned, we might suggest this in terms of the Torah. The Torah asks the famous question, and it seems like the Torah was the original to ask this question, why, insofar as Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim is concerned, the Sukkos Hoshavti would be in Chodesh Nisan, why postpone it till Tishrei? And the answer is you need a Yeshiva Nikeres. Maybe the concept of Yeshiva Nikeres is a concept of Persume Nisa, as we discussed in the previous Shia, and that certainly connects us back to Chanukah. The Persume Anes is that the Bayis should be equipped with a Dira, even one person representing the household, or in the case of Ner Chanukah, a Ner, and that Ner, once it's lit by one of the Bnei Bayis, generates the Kiyum of the Persume Anes on the Bayis. Now, if this be the case, perhaps we could further embellish our Hava, meaning that women would be included in the mitzvah of Chanukah. I'm sorry, in the mitzvah of of sukkah, because if there's a kiyum sukkah of establishing a kvius, then who more than the woman of the household could establish the kvius of dira? You know, a man could go in here, go in there, he's inside, he's outside, he grabs a bite, but the woman is the one who really determines and sets up the bias as a kvius. Now, of course, the question arises, lamaskana. And how do we want to understand lamaskana? Now, we could say the following, that the final bottom line here, which is derived from ha-ezrach, the hey to exclude nashim, is vis-a-vis the Chovas Gavra is concerned. The Chovas Gavra was formulated and operates with the same principles as mitzvahs asei shasmain grom. The Chovas Gavra is imposed upon the men, and the man needs a maisa achil and a maisa shsiya, etc. And each one of those maisim constitute a maisa mitzvah and a kiyum mitzvah. That's the Chovas Gavra. An isha, though, was never excluded from the overall mitzvah of establishing the sukkah as the bayis, as the base keva. She, more than the men even, would pick up that mitzvah. And that's one way of understanding where women would be even after the final conclusion. So that I would suggest that when a woman makes a bracha on sukkah, if she's an Ashkenaziah, her mitzvah is perhaps the kviyus habayis. And since the maskona of kol ha'ezrach means that migodlam ad katnon, the entire household has to go into the bayis in order to shift the kviyus from the bayis to the sukkah, then she, no less than any of the other members of the household, and perhaps even more so, has to move into the sukkah. Again, I'm not trying to go as far as to establish a chiyuv here, but at least there could be a kiyuv. And perhaps we can go even a little bit further, and we could say the following. A woman is not obligated in the midst of Talmud Torah. And the reason for that is, v'shinantom levanecha v'lo libnosecha. Apparently, if not for this drasha and this miut of levanecha, we would have included women in the midst of Talmud Torah. Now that's as far as the obligation of Talmud Torah is concerned. Lomaskona, we have this pasuk, and therefore there's a miut that patters up a woman from the chiyuv of Talmud Torah. But the question arises, does that exclude a woman from Talmud Torah? And the Rav Zichron Levrach used to say the following, that when the Rambam says in Hilchos Talmud Torah that if a woman on her own volition opts voluntarily to study Torah, then she has Torah, and she has schar, the Rav used to say in the name of Reb Chaim, that Reb Chaim held that a woman could create a Hefta Shel Torah. And that's very significant. When you speak about a woman creating a Hefta Shel Torah, you can really embellish this in so many ways and in so many different directions. Number one, if a woman, for example, would teach Torah, would a man fulfill his obligation? And the answer is yes, she creates a Hefta Shel Torah, he taps into that Hefta Shel Torah. If a woman would write Divrei Torah on a manuscript, would there be an Iser of Lola Abe Torah? And the answer is yes, she can create a Hefta Shel Torah. And by the same token, can she make a bracha on a Hefta Shel Torah? And the answer is yes, even though the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch both paskin that on Zman Groma we say the women cannot make a bracha, but with regard to the bracha on Torah, the Mechaber himself in Siman Lamed Zayin, I believe, he codifies that a woman makes a bracha on Talmud Torah because, says the Rav in the name of Chaim, she has a Hefta Shel Torah, and this bracha was established on the Hefta Shel Torah. In some cases, we might even go a step further. We might even go as far as to say that if a woman could create that hefta, then she picks up a chovas gavra as a result. That seems to be the understanding of the sugya in brachas daf chaf with regard to tefillah. And the Gemara says that women are included like men in the mitzvah of tefillah. And that's because rachmei ninu. And perhaps if a woman davens three times a day, shachris, mincha, ma'ariv, and you might say, well, that's a mitzvah, seishes, vayin, groma, yes, she might be she might be exempt from the mitzvah in a particular time zone, but if she goes and she fulfills the mitzvah, then her tefillah is rachmeninu. It's a cheftah shel rachamim, cheftah shel tefillah, and that's the kiyum. And here we might go as far as to say, and I believe that this is the approach of the Shagas Aryeh, that once a woman could have a cheftah shel tefillah, she needs rachamim no less than a man needs rachamim. She can create a cheftah shel tefillah no less than a man can create a cheftah shel tefillah. Therefore, beginning with that chovas cheftza, we could create a chovas gavra as well. Again, in the case of Talmud Torah, we never went that far. And Tzorich Iyun right now, we're going to leave that as an unanswered question. Maybe we'll get back to it today. But with regard to tefillah, the chovas cheftza, meaning the ability for her to create a cheftza shel tefillah, engenders a chovas gavra of tefillah. I was thinking, again, just musings of a madman, with regard to the mitzvah melchama, there's a Mishnah in Masechta Sota that says, with regard to melchamas mitzvah, afilu kala yotzis mechupasa. Again, that might mean just to lesapik mayim, but if a woman would participate in actively in the military campaign waged against Amalek, against the Zion Umos, that even though she's not obligated to do so because Noshim Labane Kibush Melchamininhu, but nevertheless she would have a kiyum because of the Cheftah Shel Melchama. There's an entity called a Melchama. And if we if we swing back to the case of Sukkah, there is such a thing as a Cheftah Shel Dira. It's not just a chovas gavra that generates the Torah's chalushem maisa mitzvah maisa chila as a maisa yeshiva maisa shtia as a maisa yeshiva, but simply living in the sukkah the way we live in the house, that whole complex of actions forms an entity, a unit, which is a cheftah shel dira. And I'll give you an example. The Yonah Yontiv is famous for saying that a woman should not be sitting in sukkah because she'll be nene, she'll enjoy the benefits of the schach of the sukkah. Like, for example, today it started raining in the sukkah, but Baruch Hashem, the schach held up, and for at least the first few minutes we were able to finish the meal that we were engaged in because the schach protected us from getting wet. That quickly changed. But for a few minutes there, we were certainly nene from the schach. And yesterday when the sun was shining very brightly, we were nene from the schach. If a woman sits in sukkah and she's nene from the schach, the Gemara says in sukkah daf tes that the Shem Hashem, just like the Shem Hashem is chal on the chagiga, so too the Shem Hashem is chal on the sukkah. You're not allowed to be nene from the sukkah. If a woman doesn't have a mitzvah, how can she be nene? So one approach might be mitzvah slav lenos nitnu, and she does have a kiyum mitzvah because even though it's mine grumman, she has a kiyum mitzvah. But that's a little bit problematic, as the Yonah Yontiv points out, because Kol HaEzrach seems to assume that we don't treat this exclusion of women from sukkah the way we exclude them from any time bound mitzvah, but rather it's a separate miut, a separate afkah. If that be the case, then I don't know if we could apply the principle of mitzvah slav lehenos nitnu, she has a kiyum. And again, according to the Onan Yontif, how do we justify the bracha that a woman makes on sukkah for those who have that minug? He perhaps didn't have that minug. And the answer might be that as far as the kiyum sukkah is concerned, to generate a cheftah shel yeshiva and dira besukkah, a woman is included in that element of sukkah. And therefore, you cannot say that her dira is not a dira shel mitzvah. It is a dira shel mitzvah. It's a cheftah shel diras sukkah. And therefore, she would not be in any way violating the Isser of Nene, of Mukta, of Hashem Hashem Nikrala Sukkah. And just to summarize what we have now, we have so many reasons to say that a woman is part of the bits of Sukkah. We have Afein Hayu Bosar Nes. Again, that's a little bit complicated because, generally speaking, Afein Hayu Nes applies in Shas to a mitzvah Darabana like Dalit Kosos, or like Mikra Megillah. I don't know if it would apply to mitzvah d'oraisa like sukkah. Can we apply afein hayu bosar nes? But Tosus over there in Megillah daf Dalit in the sugya of afein hayu quotes the shita of Rabbeinu Yosef Ish Yerushalayim, that he held that a svara like afein hayu bosar nes could generate even a mitzvah d'oraisa. And therefore, in the case of Sukkah, insofar as Sukkah is Zechel Anani HaKavod according to that Shita, then she too was included in the salvation, the protection of the Anani HaKavod, and she therefore would have the Aloch of Afein Hoyu Bosanes, which could generate, according to Yosef Ish Yerushalayim, even a Kiyum De'oraisa. So we do have elements of a Kiyum here. And even if you'll say Kol HaEzach B'Yisrael is a Gzeres HaKosu that exempts women, it doesn't mean that they don't have a Kiyum of Zechel Yitzis Mitzrayim, of Zechel Enes, of Pirsum HaNes that we discussed before, of setting up the bias as a, setting up the Sukkah as a base, Kavua and the Kvius in the bias, of course, Teshu Kein Taduru in the case of a married woman with her husband, and Simchas Yontif because the woman is there in the Sukkah. All this leads us to the conclusion that although the Torah exempted and alleviated a woman from the Chovas Gavra and the Maisa Achila, Maisa Shtia, Maisa Shena, but nevertheless she has the Kiyum of Sukkah insofar as she, no less than the men through her Dira, as a Chefetz Shel Dira, and therefore the Sukkah becomes a Chefetz Shel Diras Keva, and that's what the women will accomplish for sure when they sit in the Sukkah. Would that justify bracha? I don't know. Because as we said, there are two dimensions. Maybe the Ikar Mitzvah is the Chovas Gavra, the Maisa Achila, and that's when we make the bracha. However, creating through a constellation of Maisim, a Chal Hashem Sukkas bias, and that a woman might have that, I don't know if that's enough to justify a bracha. That's something that has to be taken under advisement. Now, we mentioned the Rambam and what seems to be the duplicity, the repetition of the Rambam. We mentioned the Ramban's Hava Binin Chumash about the possibility that one member of the household could represent the entire bias. I want to move on to another topic, another, shall we call it a subheading of the mitzvah of Yeshiva B'Sukkah. In this case, I want to discuss the question of mitzvah strichas kavana, which is a universal requirement of kavana l'shem mitzvah, lotzei sidei chovaso, that's required in all mitzvahs, and see how that applies to the case of Sukkah. You may have many different answers to the question, what is l'man yedu d'orasech, what specific, unique kavana do I require for Sukkah, as opposed to other mitzvahs? But if we assume, the way the Bach seems to assume, that those kavanos would enhance and embellish the mitzvah of Sukkah, but they're not indispensable, you could do without them, so that the mitzvah kitikuno would require kavana l'shem yitzis mitzrayim, l'shem sukkas mamish, or ananiya kovid, or whatever it might be, but that only embellishes the mitzvah. But what about the basic kavana of l'shem mitzvah? If he doesn't have any kavana l'shem mitzvah, can it be yotze the mitzvah of Sukkah? And here we have a famous chiddush that surprises all of us, that perhaps with regard to Sukkah and dafka Sukkah, we don't need kavana, and we can be yotze without kavana l'shem mitzvah. And this is a chiddush that seems to be accepted by the Mishnah Berurah. Where is the Mishnah Berurah? And this might a little bit surprise us. It's actually in Hilchos Kriyat Shema. So let's see if we can take out the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says in Hilchos Kriyat Shema, this is Simon Samach, and I'm looking at the Mishnah Berurah here in the Bir Halacha, in this case, Dibra Masel V'yesh Omrim, if you have the same edition that I have of the Mishnah Berurah, it's on page Resh Yud Beis, and the Mishnah Berurah writes, and I quote, V'da, after having established that Mitzvah Srichas Kavana, according to that Mandi Omar, and that's a requirement, D'oraisa, he says, Zeu B'shar HaMitzvah, Avol B'mitzvah Satolui B'Achila, any mitzvah that depends upon Achila, and we'll see the two examples that he gives, is Yotze v'dievet afilu lo kiven. He could be Yotze even without kavana. This is the Bir Halacha here in Reish, in Simon Samach. And to prove that that's how we paskin, that with regard to a mitzvah achila you could be yotzei without kavana. The Bir Halacha refers you to the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tav Ayin Hey Sif Dalet. So let's just take a quick peek in Tav Ayin Hey Sif Dalet, and this you'll find again if you have the same edition as I do on page Kuf Pei. Achal Matzah below kavana. Kigon shansu nachrim olistim lechol yotzi yidechovasa. And the machaber is paskining like the Gemara, the sugya in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chav Ches, that kafu lechol matzi yotza. Presumably, he has no kavanah l'shem mitzvah. He was just doing it to save his own skin from the anas, from the person who was forcing him, and yet he was yotzei the mitzvah. We'll soon see that Shulchan Aruch sets up certain conditions for that halacha to be activated. But comes along the Mishnah Berurah and he says, well, the logic of the mechaber that you could be yotzei with matzah, even though you were forced and you didn't have kavanah l'shem mitzvah. Which again, there is such a sugi, but the Gemara says shmami no mitzvahs einam tzrichas kavanah. We paskin mitzvah srichas kavana, that, for example, the case of shofar, if somebody's blowing shofar, he has to have kavana to be motzi, but moreover, you have to have kavana to be yotzei. So assuming we paskin mitzvah srichas kavana, how can we paskin in the case of matzah that you don't need kavana? And the answer is, this question was already addressed by the Ran in Masechta Rosh Hashanah. The Ran says that this halacha of shekein nehne. Again, there's a lot to discuss here in terms of the relationship between the din of Shekein Nene, the original formulation of Shekein Nene in the case of Misasek in Chalov Varais, and by analogy to the case of mitzvahs. But be that as it may, leaving that, that's an hour's discussion unto itself. Bottom line is that the Mishnah Berurah here, and he's not the first to do so, applies the logic of Shekein Nene, which is formulated by the Ran in Rosh Hashanah regarding matzah, to the case of sukkah. And there's a mitzvah on the first night of sukkahs to eat a kizayis in the sukkah. And the same halacha that applies in Hilchos matzah in Siman Tav Ayin Hey is going to apply by analogy, says the Mishnah Berurah, to Hilchos sukkah. All this is fine and dandy until we open up the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Tav Reish Chaf Hey, which again, if you have my edition, it's on page Kuf Hey. And there he writes, with regard to all these wonderful kavanas of Anani HaKavod and Laman Yedu and so forth and so on, he writes that all this is great. Latzeis Yedei HaMitzvah Kitikuna. Again, this is very similar to the language of the Bach. Although at this point he's quoting the Prima Gaudin, but Hadi Eved, let's say you don't have Kiti Kuna, and you forfeit that extra embellishment of the Kavanos of Zeichel Anani Akovo, Lahagin Alem, etc., etc. Yotze, he could fulfill his mitzvah call, but with the following proviso, Shekivein Lotzeis Levad. At least he had the basic kavana lotzeis. And this is very strange because on the one end, the Mishnah Berurah already in Siman Samach, in the Bir Halacha, had established that any mitzvah toli b'achila, whether it's matzah, b'leil pesach, or achilas kizayis, sukkah b'leil rishona, is yotzei even without kavana. And we're talking here about the basic kavana l'shem mitzvah, lotzeis yidei chovasa, whereas the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Sukkah seems to be totally oblivious to that same chiddush, and he says that the barest minimum is you have to have kavanah l'shem mitzvah. That he's not willing to give up on. Is there a theory here between the Mishnah Berurah in Bir Halacha Siman Samach and the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Sukkah and Siman Tafresh Chaf Hey? I want to point out later that this chiddush of the Mishnah Berurah, as codified here in the Bir Halacha in Siman Samach, is not an original. It comes from the Mat Ephraim. We'll discuss that later, and the Aruch HaNer in his Bikur Yaakov. And many of the Achronim thought of this chiddush, that you can do away with the basic kavanah l'shem mitzvah in the case of achilas sukkah because of the shekei nenes svara. But what do we do with the Mishnah Berurah in Tofresh Chafhei, which, you know, he writes explicitly that we insist on the basic kavanah of kivein latzeis? And I think the answer is that there's no stira in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah in Tofresh Chafhei is not addressing the unique mitzvah of sukkah on Leil Tesvav. He's discussing, as an introduction to Hilchas Sukkah, the mitzvah of Besukas Teshu Shivas Yomim, of all 7 days. Here the Svar of Shekei Nena would not operate. He needs his basic havan of Yehol Mitzvah, Kavanah L'Shem Mitzvah, Lotzis Yidei Chovasa. When does the Mishnah Berurah write Kigon Achilas Matzah the Huadin Achilas Kizayis Besukah in Simon Samach? That's only Achilas Kizayis Besukah Beleil Rishona. There you can do away and circumvent the requirement of Kavanah L'Shem Mitzvah Lotzeis. And the reason for that is because Shekein Nene, the mitzvah is Achila. This is derived from Tesvav Tesvav. We mentioned it earlier in the Shia today when we discussed women, that maybe women would be obligated in Sukkah based on the Tesvav, Tesvav, the Gzeres Shava to Achilas Matzah. And here in our context, the Achilas Matzah Gzeres Shava sets up Achilas Kizayis B'Sukkah as a Kiyum Achila. It's a Mitzvah Achila, a Maisa Achila. That's why all you need is a Kizayis. You don't need a Kibetza, which you would require the rest of the balance of Sukkos. And insofar as we have this achilas kizayis, whether it's matzah on Leil Pesach or kizayis besukkah, we have the svar of shekei nene. As far as the balance of Sukkos is concerned, there we must have a basic requirement of kavanah l'shem mitzvah latzeis yidei chovasa. So I don't think there's a stira in the Mishnah Berurah. Now, as I said before, this chiddush of Shekei Nena, as it applies to Sukkah, is a chiddush that predates the Mishnah Berurah. We find it in the Mata Ephraim. The Mata Ephraim, again in Simon Tov Reish Chaf Hei, was authored by Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius of Brod, and that goes back to the 19th century. He writes... Now, keep in mind, there's the Mata Ephraim in the text, and then there's the Elef Lamata, in which he embellishes, like the Bir Alocha did in the Mishnah Berurah, he embellishes his Mata Ephraim. In the Mata Ephraim himself, before you get to the Elef Lamata, he writes, Yesh lachamin daito shu ochel kezayis o yoser mi kebetzas pas lotzeis bo yidei chovas mitzvas achilas leil rishona besukkah. And the Mata Ephraim is warning us, so to speak, he's admonishing us that we should be very careful that when we sit in Sukkah, we should have in mind that we want to fulfill the Chovas Mitzvah of Achilas Leil Rishona B'Sukkah. Now, I'm not sure why he sets up this requirement only with regard to the first night. Ken Zayin, maybe he would apply it to all 7 days. And I would assume for sure he should apply to all 7 days. The only thing is, you don't talk about a chova with regard to the balance of the 7 days. And the reason for that is because the mitzvah of Sukkah divides into two parts. On the first night, it's an absolute unconditional chova to eat at least a kezayis of pas in the sukkah. The rest is only a kiyum mitzvah, shall we say, without a chiyuv. In that sense, it parallels matzah kol shiva. And the Mata Ephraim is not going to stop here. He basically, we can add a word to everything as an introduction to everything he said until now, and that's lichatchila. We're going to add that word in. Sheyesh lechavi b'daito. Right, Bolotzeis Yidei Chovas Mitzvah Sachilas Leil Rishona B'Sukkah. Then he writes, Ubidi Eved, now I'm not adding that word, Bidi Eved, im lo kiven is afilu on su lechol viochal yotza. This is mamish halach that we saw in the bir halach in Siman Samach, that the evidence could be yotza even without kavana lotzeis, even if he was forced to eat the kizayis rishona b'sukkah. And that's in a sense an application of what we know from matzah to sukkah, which was we thought was the original Kiddush, the Bir Halacha. Here we see in the Mat Ephraim. Fine. Now, what happens in such a case of a Bidyevet? Well, he was Yotze the Mitzvah. He didn't have Kavana. And maybe even was forced to eat. He was Yotze the Mitzvah. However, Mikomakom adds the Mat Ephraim, Kidei Sheyasa Mitzvah Kitikuna, Yeshlo Lachzor Velechol Bekavana. He should eat again, but this time have Kavana L'Shem Mitzvah, and then he's Yotze Kitikuna. But Im Eino Rotzelis Akiv Sham, he has no interest really in eating in the Sukkah at this point. He's only doing so because of the kizayis that he ate without kavana. So in order to replace that and make sure that he does the mitzvah ketikuna, he's going to eat a second kizayis to replace the first one and have this time in mind latzei sidei chovaso. But ein rotzel is akiv sham. He has no interest in adding to the achila and enhancing or expanding his yeshiva, and therefore he says yochal below bracha, since basically he was yotzei b'dieved and now he's just eating l'shem duplication in order to fulfill that chisaron, that deficit or omission of kavana, then he was yotzei in the first round. Obviously, he's enhancing, and I don't know. The Mat Ephraim might say this in general that even according to the Man Yom Mitzvahs, ein tzrichas kavana, one should certainly have kavana lotzeis, and if he was yotzei without kavana, he should repeat the mitzvah with kavana, but again without a bracha. You know, the fact that he wants to embellish his mitzvah, that's not enough to justify a bracha. And the lumdus here is very difficult because the way we were taught by Rebbe in the name of Reb Chaim, there's no point to repeating a mitzvah in order to add something if you've already been yotzi with the first round. So if you were yotzi with the first achila, now you want to what? You want to be yotzi with the second achila? There's no. Again, it could come under the general mitzvah of achilas sukkah kol shiva. But if that be the case, then he should be making a bracha. He's saying enerotzel is akiv sham, meaning he's only eating it in order to replace the achilas kizayis rishon of mitzvah, and therefore he has no interest in eating any more than that. He's not in the sukkah for any other reason except for that, and he's going to be yotzei the mitzvah by mitzvah ki tikuna by adding the element of kavana l'shem mitzvah. That's a little bit odd. If he was already yotze and there's no chovas gavra, can he generate a mitzvah of kizayis leil rishona shel sukkah when he's already been yotze that chiyuv? And he wants to do so in order to be mekayim the mitzvah ki tikuna by adding the element of kavana. I don't know that he could do that. You know, the famous story about the Reb Chaim used to test his students with the two esrogim. One was a vadai Esrog, but it was completely lacking in Hidu. The other was a Suffolk lemon, Suffolk Esrog, but it was Mehuda. Which, what order, what sequence? Fine. But in any event, what I wanted to point out to you here is, of course, number one, that the Mat Ephraim already has this halach of Ansu Lechol in the case of Sukkah and Yotzah. But keep in mind, the Mat Ephraim in the text itself has not told us why this is so. He didn't say because of Shekein Nene. And if you take a look in the Mat Ephraim, at least in the Reisha of his presentation, he's not operating with the Ran in Masechta Rosh Hashanah and the Svar of Shekein Nene. But rather, he says the following. He writes, "Kein mevur b'shas l'inyan matzah v'achi kaimel b'simatov ayin hey the ayin shom b'magen avram the after kaimel mitzvah suichus kavana the midi achili shiny sheken
Sharei ochal venena b'kach v'umi divrei Aran b'Rosh Hashanah.
So again, you know, this is not the Reisha that I referred to. The Reisha is coming up around the bend. Here, he mentions the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Matzah based on the Svar of the Ran in Rosh Hashanah of Chikei Nene. But then, if you look a little bit further, and again, I'm going to fast forward a bit, he says that the reason why Kafu Lechol Matzah Yotzah is not based on the Ran of Shekei Nene, but rather it's based on a Rambam in Hilchas Gerishin, of all places. And that's the concept of onus. When a person implements an action because of under duress, and the Matafrayim here in the Elif Lamata quotes Kidakamil and Indian Karbon, the Mahani Kfir Vachain Beget Ma'usa. He quotes two different areas of Halacha where the action does fulfill the requirement, even though he was forced to do so, and maybe Dafka because he was forced to do so. Mahani Kfir, that the Kfir is a very important factor over here. So it's not just that he ate in the Sukkah without Kavana, but he was forced to eat in the sukkah. That is the positive element here, the variable that generates kavana. V'chein beget ma'usa. Again, a get has to be given like a korban midaito mirtzono. And the Rambam says in Hilchos Gerishin, because chazokal kol odom miyisrael shirotzav lekiyum ha-mitzvah el shekafu yitzro hara. V'kevin shal yidei kfiya chazav v'nisratze aminish v'nisratze be'emes. Then Cain, who adin bazeh, here we can apply that to matzah, the aminon, sha'asiyoso, hoya birotzon l'kayim ha-mitzvah. That you have to beat him up in order to induce or to evoke his true, genuine kavana l'shem mitzvah. His rotzon is really to do what Hashem wants him to do, to mekayim the mitzvah. And it'll only come to the fore, or it'll only express itself after you beat him up. And if you can apply that logic to matzah, imkein hu adin kan le'inyan mitzvahs sukkah. And we should apply that same logic to sukkah. If he was forced to sit and eat in the sukkah, then that's his true ratzon. You know, we may have to beat him blue till he's blue, black and blue, in order to get him to say this ratzon, to really come forward with his inner drive and his inner will, which is the will to fulfill the will of God. But once having done so, we've accomplished that goal through beating him up, through onus. Now we have, in the case of Karvah L'Ritzono, and in the case of mitzvahs, we have the Kavanah L'Shem Mitzvah, and that's what's going on here in Sukkah. In this latter presentation, this Sefer, what I call, in the Elif Lamata, he's not operating with the Svar of the Ran, of Shekei Nene. Now, he points out here in the Mata Ephraim, in the Elif Lamata, a fundamental difference between the two Svaras that apply here to Matzah and Sukkah, respectively. One Svar, of course, is the Ran of Shekei Nene, and the other is the Svara of Kofu'uhu, that he has a Ratzon once we beat him up. He says the Nafkamin is the following. The Ran applies if he was Yodea the Halayla Pesach. He knew that tonight was Chag HaPesach. And also, he Savur, Aval Savur. So again, he's aware of the fact that tonight is Pesach. He's aware of the fact that he's Chayv and Achilles Matzah. But Savur Chol, he is not aware of the fact that tonight is Chol. He made a mistake in the calendar. Osha Ein Zu Matzah. He didn't realize that this was Matzah. Then Lo Yotzeh. In other words, again, the stipulation here, the Ran, the application of the Ran is B'yoda Talayla Pesach V'shuchai B'achilus Matzah Avol Savur Chol. Because the Ran is limiting the Svar, the application of the Svar Shekei Nene, to situations in which he is indeed generating a maisa achilas matzah. The question is, the element of kavanah l'shem mitzvah is lacking, but the yediyah
that this is a mice of achilus matzah that he has. So is yoda del laila pesach because chayav achilus matzah. All the elements are in place except for one. The one that's omitted, the one that's deficient, is kavanah l'shem mitzvah. That can be supplied by the shekein nena. However, if he thought it was chol, so he's not aware of the fact that he's involved in a maisa mitzvah, o she'ein zu matzah, if he didn't realize this was matzah, then lo yatzah, because he doesn't have an awareness of a maisa achila, meaning an achilas matzah. He has to have an awareness of what we call a chal shem achilas matzah, just he didn't have kavanah latzeis, and that we could supply because of shekein nena. However, he quotes Rabbeinu Yonah in the name of Tosfos. I don't believe that we have this Tosfos. And this is all brought down in the Beis Yosef in Siman Tov Reish Chaf Hei. I'm sorry, in Siman Tov Ayin Hei. And the Beis Yosef writes, in the name of Tosfos, quoted by Rabbeinu Yonah, the Dafka B'Savur Shu Chametz. On the exact opposite is true. He's under the impression that it's chametz. And if he's under the impression that it's chametz, then we can establish that he's yotze, because he's not opposed to being yotze. He has a neutral kavanah. He thinks he's eating chametz. He doesn't realize that he's eating matzah. Again, for us, chametz and matzah are usually easily distinguished. But if you see the Yemenite pito, do you know what I mean when I say it looks like chametz? The first time I saw a Jew with a kippah eating this on Pesach, I jumped. I couldn't believe what I was looking at. It looked exactly like chametz, but for them, it's matzah, and it is matzah. So now he doesn't realize that he's eating matzah, which again, according to the Ran, would mean that he doesn't have an awareness of a maisa mitzvah of achilas matzah. It doesn't matter. Here, you don't need his awareness of the fact that he's eating matzah. What you need is he's not objecting to the kiyum mitzvah. He's neutral. He's naive. He's a tamim here. He thinks he's eating chametz. It's not like he's being... they're forcing the mitzvah down his throat. He doesn't want to eat matzah. He's not an objector, a conscious objector. And therefore he could be yotze, even in the absence of an awareness that he's doing a maisa achilas matzah, but he is physically eating matzah, and it is Leil HaPesach. He's lacking kavanah, but he's nene. And if he's nene, he has the kavanah. However, avol biyoda shehu matzah, everything is contingent upon whether he has a naive approach to what he's doing here, or he is very astute, very aware. He knows it's matzah. He knows it's Pesach, which again, according to the way we understood the Ranshi, that exactly is when he's yotze. No, lo yotze. According to Tosfos, he's not yotze. And the reason for this is he knows it's matzah. He knows he has a mitzvah tonight of Pesach of matzah. And he refuses to be yotze. Oh, so now we want to apply the principle of leka kiyum mitzvah bal kocha shel adam. In other words, if he has kavanah b'dafka shelo latzeis yidechavos, we can't force a mitzvah down his throat. He doesn't want the kiyum mitzvah. He doesn't get the kiyum mitzvah. But now we have to ask ourselves the question, based on the Gemara in Get and in Karbon, that if he's being forced, is that itself is considered as if he had Ratzon? The answer is, that's only in the case where he says Rotzani. But here he didn't declare Rotzani. And therefore, he's not Yotze. But had he said Rotzani as a result of this coercion, because that's his inner Ratzon that we discussed before based on the Ram Hilchos Geirush, then he would be Yotze. Even though, again, he's objecting. He's a conscientious objector, and he doesn't want to keep a mitzvah, and we can't shove it down his throat. But at the end of the day, he said Rotzani. If he didn't say Rotzani, then there's no keep a mitzvah al kocho shel adam. But if he doesn't know that it's matzah, he doesn't know it's Pesach, he's thinking that he's eating chametz, so he has a neutral relationship to the mitzvah of matzah. He happens to be luck out and eat matzah, then we could substitute and replace his lack of kavanah and assume that he has a kavanah, unless he objects to the mitzvah, and then it depends on rotzani or not. That seems to be the presentation of the Aleph Lamata. It needs a lot of work here. But Rav Osai, what I wanted to point out to you is that the Aleph Lamata comes up with an amazing chiddush. And he suggests that, wait a minute, how can you tell me that if he was forced on su lechol kezayis pas on leil rishon shel sukkos, he was yotze, whether he says rotzani and so forth and so on, all the different permutations, he says, wait a minute, the chiyuv of sukkah is b'makom kviyus, v'kevan shansu ein kan kviyus. So a new breakthrough here. He's basing himself on two premises, each one of which has to be proven, has to be substantiated. The first premise is that the chiyuv sukkah is b'makom kviyus. B'makom kviyus. I'm not sure exactly what the source for that is. I mean, you could talk about an achilas keva, like a kibetza, as opposed to achilas aroi. That I could possibly tolerate. Although, again, I'm not sure if that would apply to the first night of Pesach of Sukkot. But to say that that Sukkot requires a makom kviyus, I don't know what he means by a makom kviyus. And that leads me to the second premise, that in a case of onus, there's no makom kviyus. And the impression you get here is that perhaps even if he would say rotzani, but the very fact that he was forced into this achila, that itself might mean that the achila itself is not an achila b'makom kviyus. And if it's not an achila b'makom kviyus, then even though he has hanah, he does not fulfill and discharge his obligation because it's not in a makom kviyus. If I understand the Aleph Lamata correctly, it works like this. If you're like the Ran, then even if he objects to this mitzvah, he's very well aware of the fact that it is Leil Pesach and he's Chayv and Achilas Matzah, but he was forced, then he would be Yotze in any event because of the Svarv Shekein Nena. Whereas the Rabbeinu Yonah, in the name of Tosus, is assuming that if he knows and he's aware of the fact that it's Pesach and this is Matzah and he still refuses, then we have to get into the whole issue of Kafu, of Ones, and Shekein, Agav Onsi Gomer Maknik, that he really wants to, to save himself, he wants to eat the Matzah, he wants to eat the Sukkah because of this coercion, and that itself is enough of a Ratzon to constitute Kavod L'Shem Mitzvah. Again, you could differentiate between Kavan and Ratzon, but he's not making that distinction. And that's the sheet of Tosus, that Dafka, because he's aware of the fact that it's Pesach and this is Matzah, that generates a problem here. Of course, the problem that the Elif Lamata raises on this Shita is that even if I grant you that it was a rotzani, and even if I apply the Rambam's Lumdus and the philosophy that Chazok al Kolom Sherotzim Kiva Mitzvah, but so what? It's not achila in a sukkah b'makom kviyus, and therefore, if so, then he's not yotze. Then he writes afilu l'aran moda b'sukkah. It could be that the ran, despite the svar of shekein nena, would be moda. The shekein nena in matzah would be moda that doesn't operate in sukkah because it's not a kviyus. And then he writes that the ran is talking about a case where he's aware of the fact that it is Pesach and this is Matzah. V'kol shkenim lo yoda klal shechayv lechol b'sukkah. Right? And how much more so is he a few steps removed from a ma'isa mitzvah v'achila b'sukkah if he's not even aware of the fact that it is sukkah. It is sukkahs and he's chayv to eat in sukkah. How much more so is it far removed from a kviyus of arachila b'makom kviyus? And yeshlomer gam lefi rabbeinu yonah b'shem tosus modav is that they came into lo yada me'achiyu v'lo nechshav l'kviyus machmas ha'onis. The onus is antithetical to kvius, and therefore he's not eating it b'makom kvius. And if that be the case, there's no ma'aseh mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah. L'chein yesh lo lachzor v'lechol b'miskamin v'lo levarech. I'm not sure now why he's so happy with the fact that he doesn't make the bracha. If we're saying that it's not a makom kvius, which again I don't know where he got this concept makom kvius, then why should he omit the bracha on the second round? He mamish wasn't yotze his achila on the first round. Ron seems to be saying that if he's unaware when he was forced to eat the matzah or to sit in sukkah, if we apply it that way, he was unaware of the mitzvah, then it's like a mesasik situation. He doesn't done a ma'aseh mitzvah. We can't use the svar of shkeinena to supply the kavanah when there's no ma'aseh mitzvah at all. So we need a chal shem ma'aseh mitzvah. That's as far as the ma'aseh achil is concerned. The Elif Lamata says you can add another element to point this out, that if he's totally unaware of the fact that it's sukkah, that he doesn't have a kvius makom of sukkah. And that's another reason why he would not be yotze. And that's a problem, because then what we're saying is that if he is aware of the fact that this is Leil Pesach and he's Chayav Achilas Matzah, then even though he doesn't have Kavod L'Shem Mitzvah, he's Yotze Midin Shekeinen, according to the Ran, if we accept that analogy. But if he doesn't want to be Yotze, then that L'Chorah should be an objection to making this into a Ma'is Achil L'Shem. You can't call it a Ma'is Achil L'Shem Mitzvah if he's not interested in the Mitzvah. So it's very difficult to say that in this case of Ones, he was Yotze the Mitzvah of Sukkah, according to Elif Lamat. If you grant me that premise, that you need a Makom Kavua. Now, if you hold like Rabbeinu Yonah, in the name of Tosfos, then we're talking about a case where Lo Yoda Me'achiv, because if it was Yoda Me'achiv, then it's Val Korcha, is then, how could you possibly apply the principle of Ansu Yatza? Is Eino Nechshav L'Kvius Makom? And why is that so? Machmas Onus. The Onus negates and undermines the nature of the Achila as an Achila of Kvius. The only thing I don't understand is that according to Elif Lamata, why is he so thrilled about the fact that he repeats the Achila? And now he does it without the onus, but he omits the bracha. I'm not sure why he should be omitting the bracha. Now we mentioned at the start of the shiur, and I just want to come back to this point, that the Rambam has not only a mitzvah of achila in the sukkah, but also an iser not to eat kol shiva, any sort of achilas keva outside the sukkah. And that was the Rambam aloch of vav. Why did the Rambam wait till Aloch of Vav to generate this new definition of Isur? And perhaps the Rambam holds that within the context of those two dinim, those two dimensions of Sukkah that we discussed at the beginning and in the previous shiur, namely the dimension of a kium maisa mitzvah with a chalashay maisa achila, and in addition, the halach in the Heftah Shel Sukkah to establish the Sukkah as a Sukkah Sheyesh Ba Kvius, then the Rambam holds that if I eat outside the Sukkah, then I'm being pogea, I'm undermining the status of the Sukkah as a Sukkah Sheyesh Ba Kvius. So it's more than just a bittul essay, meaning that every achila presents me with an opportunity to fulfill a mitzvah's essay of a ma'aseh achila, but above and beyond that, I have a kium in the sukkah itself to make it into a sukkah kvua like my bias. And that halacha is more like an iser essay than a kium essay, meaning any achila outside the sukkah undermines the status of the sukkah as a sukkah kvua, and the Torah wants it to be a sukkah kvua. What should I say? It's like eating before davening. You know, the kiyum of tefillah has to be the first tefillah al dimchem. You know, and you already ate, so it's no longer. So you rob the kiyum. Or if, let's say, for example, you bring a mincha before the omer. or before Shtei Alechem, I should say, Min HaChadosh. So that then you've undermined the Kiyum of Chadosh, of Reishis Bikurchem, in the Shtei Alechem that's brought on Chag HaShavuos. Here too, if you eat outside the Sukkah, you basically undermine the Kiyum of setting up the Sukkah as a Kfiyus Bayis. But then the Rambam stipulates that's only if he ate a Seuda, or at least he ate some sort of achilas keva, which might be not necessarily a suda, but even a little bit more than a kibetza. In the case of shena, any shena, even a little dribble is already pogea in that kium to make the sukkah into a sukkah shel kvius. So my mitzvah is a twofold mitzvah. Number one, I have a mitzvah to eat and drink and sleep in the sukkah. If I fail to do that and I carry those actions, transfer them outside the sukkah, then I was mevatel an essay. But you can't beat me up for any sort of a los assay or an iser assay. Masha enkein, once I introduce the second variable, the second definition of mitzvah sukkah, to set up the sukkah as a makom kvius, then any achilus pogea in that kiyum makom kvius, it undermines the mitzvah, and that's called an iser. Just like I cannot bring a korban mincha min achadosh before the shtei alechem, because then I'm undermining the kiyum of shtei alechem as the first korban min achadosh. So that's an iser. And again, that iser is engendered or generated by a mitzvah. So to hear the mitzvah of being koveh the sukkah as my ikar bias with all the kviyas and so forth and so on, that kiyum is undermined by the fact that I eat, drink, and sleep outside the sukkah. Again, every single pula is a little differently. In the case of eating, it's because it's kviyas. In the case of shena, it's even a shena saray is called a shena keva. Since the Rambam wants to add in halacha vav in perek vav this definition that I shouldn't undermine the sukkah as a sukkah kvua, therefore he has to define which specific maisim, which pu'ulos, could generate a kvius. If I do it outside the sukkah, I am undermining the kvius of the sukkah as a chevshel sukkah, as a bais kavua. And therefore the Rambam mentions not dira, but he mentions specific maisim, including shena, because he wants to tell you that if the shena, even if the shena is a shena saroy, it's enough to be mavatal the kfiyas of the sukkah. And in the case of achilas shasiya, if it's such a small minimum volume, it's called an achilas saroy, it doesn't undermine the status of the sukkah as a bayis kavua. I would think, in the light of everything that we're saying, that although the Kol HaEzra of the Hay is coming to the Mamayit Noshim, that's true as far as the Chovas Gavra and the Mais Achila, they don't have that, they don't share that Chiyuv, but as far as Kvius and Suda, Kvius and the Bayis, then Adarav, they play a major role in being Kovei the Bayis, they should be there in the Sukkah. And they set up and facilitate the Bayis as a Bayis Shiyeshba Dira Kvua. The sukkah becomes a bayis kavua, and the sukkah becomes a dira kavua through and by virtue of their dira. They're living in the sukkah. And if that be the case, we clearly can avoid the Onan Yontif's conclusion that when a woman is in the sukkah, her dira is a violation of the Yisra Anom in a sukkah, and Lashem, Hashem Hashem Chal HaSukkah. On the contrary, their yeshiva b'sukkah facilitates the yeshiva of the men of the Zcharim, because their Maisa Mitzvah Chovas Gavruk has to be fulfilled in a Sukkah Kvua. The Noshim make designate this and live as in a way that it makes it into a Sukkah Kvua. And it reminds us, of course, of the Ran in the second Perek of the Ran in Yevamos in Samach Hei, where the sugya says that women are exempt from the mitzvah of Piriyah Verivya, Ein Darcha Shalisha Lichbosh. But the Ran says that she gets a kiyum of being Mesayel Abal. So the woman, more than the man even, facilitates procreation. So you can't exclude her from the mitzvah. That would be antithetical. That would be like shooting yourself in the foot. It's contrary to the mitzvah itself. So we said at the outset that just like in Talmud Torah, a woman is exempt from the Chovas Gavra of learning Torah, but she has the Cheftza, Shel Torah, with all the nafgaminas that we mentioned about Ibud and about and learning and about making a brach, etc., etc. So that's called the Chefetz Shel Torah, which is generated by women no less than it's generated by the men. And in Tefillah, the Chefetz Shel Tefillah, by virtue of which the Gemara says Tefillah Rachminu, therefore women are included in Tefillah. There's also Chefetz Shel Dira, and that Chefetz Shel Dira is something that women are not exempt from. They're not in any way excluded from the dira that's going to be kover the sukkah as the sukkahs kvius. And at the very least, you have to grant us the premise, in the case of Teshu who came to do in a married woman, that she is facilitating his yeshiva basukkah. Because he's setting up the sukkah as a sukkah sheishba kvius. She is kover the chefta shel sukkah. Now the Baal, her husband can go into the sukkah and be mekayim his chovas gavra vachila. Just like in the case of Piri Verivia, she facilitates his kiyum gavra of mitzvahs Piri Verivia. Should we be laughing at the women who sleep in sukkah? I know that some of the girls sleep in the sukkah. I would say the following. It doesn't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch that a woman should be sleeping in sukkah. But on the other hand, in the case of a married woman, sleeping in the sukkah would be an act of facilitating the Baal's teshu came to duru. Again, there are privacy issues, so therefore, if possible, again, this is not the chumrah of the week, but if possible, to set up a separate sukkah that's private, no entry for the husband and wife, that would certainly set up teshu came to duru. Tashmish Amita is mutter in the sukkah. And that would certainly be an enhancement of the kiyum of a samachta b'chagecha. We don't want the sukkah to interfere with the kiyum of a samachta b'chagecha. And if a woman who's not married is sleeping in the sukkah, would she be part of the Bnei Abayis to be kover the sukkah as a sukkah sheyesh bo kvius? Could be. I mean, al shem ha'asid, since she, as a woman, is will be married and in mitzvah shem, and she'll be basi lo karasi, as Basi, Basi, as Ishti, Basi, my wife is my bias. She is kofer the bias. That's why we put so much effort, and perhaps even more effort, into Chinuch Bonos than Chinuch Bonin, because she is going to be kofer the bias. In the case of Sukkah, if the mitzvah is to be kofer the Sukkah as a bias, then it makes absolute sense that the woman should play a major role in the very Heftah of bias here. And that is something that we saw in Piri Verivia, where in the very Heftz of Piri Verivia she plays the major role. Here in the Heftz of Shel Dira she plays the major role. It's Hashem Yiratzu, we should all be Zocha to fulfill the mitzvah of Yeshiva B'sukkah B'shleimus with all the different kavanas that we mentioned. And at the same time, to have kavanah l'shem mitzvah. If we don't have kavanah l'shem mitzvah, then perhaps the Shekein Nenes Svar would apply on the first night of Sukkah, not in the balance of Sukkah. And as far as being Koveh the Sukkah as a Sukkah Kvua, we might include the women in that obligation, although as a technical legal Chovas Gavra in terms of the Maisa Achila, that they were exempted. And as far as being Koveh the Sukkah through the amalgam and the constellation of all those Pu'ulos, I don't know if that would be enough to generate a bracha. It might even be just a t'nai in setting up the Heftz Shel Sukkah, but there I would say the women play a role, and to accept the Oneg Yontif that she's being nena from the Sukkah illegally, that's suicidal from the perspective of what we've been presenting today. And just in closing, I wanted to suggest that what we mentioned earlier, that a woman might have a Heftz Shel Milchama, afilu kali yotzeis, in the case of Milchemes Mitzvah. Again, I'm not assuming that it's just the backdrop stuff of Mayim and Sipuk Mazon for the Chayalim, but that maybe she plays some sort of role in the Milchama itself. If that be the case, if she has a Heftz Shel Milchama, maybe we could say that Sukkah also has an element of milchama. I mean, that sounds pretty strange. But in the light of the chiddush of the rokeach, which is brought down the chayodim here at the beginning of Hilchas Sukkah, that the kavanah of Laman Yedu Doroseichem, according to Mandiyomu, says Sukkos Mamish, is for those Sukkos that they established when they were fighting the war and engaged in a military, waging a military campaign against Sichon V'Og at the gateway to Eretz Yisrael. That mitzvah of milchama is something that we want to remember when we go into the sukkah, because that's mitzvah l'chom is going to be the entry, so to speak, or the harbinger of the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael, which is so central to sukkahs. And in that context, we can certainly say that a woman is potter from the mitzvah of sukkah, because lav benos milchamininu, so if the whole purpose is to remember the milchamos and the conquering of Eretz Yisrael, starting with Sichon V'Yoga and Evra Yarden, and then entering into Eretz Yisrael, women have no part in that mitzvah, but they certainly have a chefza shel kibush and a chefza shel milchama, albeit without a chovetz gavra, and that chefza can be transferred over to the sukkah. So when a woman sits in sukkah and she has the kavanah that a man has to have of Hoshavti Sukkas Mamish at the time of the Milchemes Og and Sichon, then a woman should also have that kavanah of Milchemes Sichon V'Og, and so far as that's Milchemes Mitzvah, a woman is Afilu Kala Yotzeis Michupas. Just to add as a postscript that if the mitzvah of sukkah is Zechel Anani HaKavod, and women were part of that Ness, and if we take the approach of the tour that the Torah postponed the mitzvah of yeshiva besukkah, even though the Anani HaKavod were there in Chodesh Nisan after the Yetzia Mitzrayim, but till Tishrei to make it into a yeshiva anikeres, and that introduces the element of pirsum anes, which we saw in the Havamin of the Ramban, that one member of the household could achieve pirsum anes. If you assume that since women are included afhein hoibos anes of Anani HaKavod, and the mitzvah of sukkah is Anani HaKavod, if that be the case, then this concept of being koveh the sukkah and a yeshiva besukkah b'toras cheftza shel sukkah, it means a sukkah wherein the members of the household could be mefarsem, they could publicize the ness of the Anani HaKavod by going out to the sukkah at a time when it's unusual to go out to the sukkah, it's already the beginning of the fall, the winter months, then certainly a woman, insofar as she has the ability as the backbone of the bias to set up the bias and be kofer the sukkah as a bias shel keva, that makes it into a sukkah hanikeres, a yeshiva hanikeres, and now she's facilitated her husband's chovas kiyum, chovas gavra of yeshiva besukkah hanikeres in such a way that now the sukkah was established as the new bias, and now the husband, by eating in that bias, he has a yeshiva nikeres. He, together with the members of his household, are being mefarsem, are publicizing the miracle. It's not enough that he personally thinks of all the kavanas. He has to do it in a way that's objective. That's the way the Torah sees it, objective and clearly indicating at this time of year the pirsum anes of the Yetzias Mitzrayim, of the Anani HaKavod. That's something that a woman should certainly participate in. And therefore, again, I'm not pasking halacha l'maisa, but it would seem to me that we should not in any way discourage the women from coming into the sukkah the way the Olam Yontif would have it. But on the contrary, ner ishu beso, ner ish v'ishto, and in this case of sukkah, yeshiva besukkah ke'ein diras habayis, ke'ein taduru, and that certainly would encourage that the women folk join us in the sukkah. It would certainly enhance our sukkah, and certainly a woman would gain the kiyum at least of being koveh the cheftza shel sukkah as a bias shel kvius. Ashkenazic women are encouraged to make the bracha on the sukkah. That wasn't always the minug, and certainly amongst Sephardic Jews that's not the minug. But we, Ashkenazim, will follow Rabbeinu Tam, and we will assume that the women have a kiyum of sukkah. And the kiyum of sukkah, even though they were, in a very express way, they were exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah by virtue of the drasha called ha-ezrach, the hey to exclude nashim. And therefore one might argue that the universal halacha that a woman, according to Rabbeinu Tam, has a kiyum of mitzvah seishas mind grom on a voluntary basis, she can even make a bracha on that chefza shel kiyum. Perhaps we could say that in sukkah, no. The Torah says ha ezrach, and under the normal laws of a voluntary mitzvah, she doesn't have the voluntary mitzvah. It's not just a p'tur of zman because of zman groma, the way the avodrom says it. No, here they were mufka from the mitzvah of yeshiva besukkah, but that's only as far as the Chovas Gavra, the Maisi Yeshiva, the Maisa Achila, she should have Kavana in whatever she does in the Sukkah, that she's being Koveh the Sukkah as her bias. And from that perspective, she is not necessarily excluded. Afhein Hayu Ba'osa Nes. And if the Nes requires a Pirsum that is engendered by transforming the Sukkah into a Sukkah Kvua, then her living in the Sukkah and bringing all of the entire constellation of what it means, Dira, into the Sukkah is a Kiyum, and on that she can perhaps, according to Rabbeinu Tam, make a Bracha. That's the way I would end that discussion for today. Please send me your comments and critiques. I realize I'm saying something that's a little bit far out, but I do believe that at least on an emotional level, this would be another reason to obligate women, despite the ha-ezrach, in the midst of Sukkah, because a woman, more than a man, is connected to the bias and determines the nature and the character of the bias. And that's what we want to do in Sukkah, convert the Sukkah into a bias. That's a bias of a Beis Hashem. That's a bias where perhaps the women, more than the men, should be makpid to invite Orchim, because this bias is a bias of Kedusha, Shem Hashem Nikral HaSukkah, and in a bias of Kedusha, we want to invite the guests. Maybe that's what Ushpizin is all about, the beautiful minhag of Ushpizin. This kvias of a bias requires that we invite guests, that we abstain from Lashon Hara in the Sukkah, that the Sukkah becomes a place of Kedusha. Perhaps the Sukkah becomes a place for family connections on a spiritual level with Divrei Torah, and the women should be part of that experience. And if they do so, then Emir Tzashem will be Zocha to see Sukkas, HaKadosh Baruch should be making the Sukkas, Dov and Halafos, to see the Nisim and the Flos again, and the special love, the Ava, that generates the Simcha of Sukkis, that should be restored to Klal Yisrael, the protection of the Anania covered in such a miraculous way. This is what we want to be Zocha through our yeshiva, through our attempt, and hopefully successful one, at converting the Sukkah into a bias kavua. Kein yiratzon. Amen.